Harold and Adeline Cabot are being interviewed by Renee Garalick for Concord's Oral History Program, sponsored by the Concord Historical Commission. The interview is taking place at their home at 111 Ripley Hill Road on November 15, 1977. Mr. and Mrs. Cabot are 77 years old. Much of the recreational memories take people back to the rivers of Concord.
Well, that's because in the early days, and shortly after the beginning of the 20th century, about going 1920s and early 1910, the rivers were the recreational place to be, the way everybody was. And the Concord Canoe Club, was founded. That, as you know, was just down opposite where the Concord Monument statue is, diagonally across the river today. But there was this boathouse with a float going out into the river. And on the 4th of July, picnics were held and parties were held, and members gathered to watch the aquatic sports. There were swim meets, and there was canoe jousting, where a man paddled another man in the bow who held a long pole, or what do you call it on?
Pad,
yeah. So you could knock one the other end of the river. Usually they both fell into the river to the pleasure of the spectators. The Canoe Club, of course, building burned down, so that ended the activities such as I've just talked about. Keep their canoes there and leave, but not very many of them compared to what it was 40 years, 50 years ago.
Was there swimming that you recall in the Concord rivers?
Oh yeah, people swam in it. Shortly, I don't know the exact year, but unfortunately, the Maynard Mills weren't policed as far as the pollution they put in the stream. So swimming became impossible. It was dirty.
With skating?
People could swim still up near Fairhaven Bay on the Sudbury River. Now that river, of course, had a yellow tinge, but that was not pollution. That was just the weeds and so forth on the bottom of the river. And we used to swim there up towards Fairhaven Bay. Mm-hmm. But the Concord River was polluted by the Athabet, and the Athabet was polluted by the Maynard Mills.
I see. Was skating something that you recall, too?
Oh yes, skating on the meadows, the historic meadows, were very common, as well as on the river. But the meadows flooded the way they do today, and we used to have hockey pickup games on the meadows.
We always thought it was very dangerous to skate on the river, especially under the bridges.
Well, that's true. Some people weren't allowed, some boys and girls weren't allowed to skate on the river because their families were afraid of the air holes which came on the river from the flowing stream. And they were quite right, they were many. Because even when the meadows were emptying out into the river, where the stream came into the river from the meadows, there was open water in many places. I remember once skating out into an open water, skating out for a buck and not seeing where he'd gone. Ended up up to my waist.
Neshottok Hill was a site of great fun for
yes,
you children.
Neshottok Hill was where the skating was, mm-hmm. And the hill was, you weren't talking about it?
No, we used to coast. Seemed to me we used to mostly coast and not ski so much on the shore where they ski now.
We didn't ski, we did both, did it?
Yeah.
Because I think most of the skiing was
where it is now, on the same slope for it, between the Shores house.
Yeah, and I remember particularly coasting down the short road from the ski hill at the top all the way down to the bridge, perfectly safely without a car in sight. It was a lovely coast.
And ponging?
Oh, ponging was lovely. A great many of the grocery stores had pungs.
Tolan Kent for one.
Yes. And they were the best ones to get on because they always smelt so beautifully of coffee. And the men were very patient with all the kids who jumped on and off, so I never would care.
Well, that's something lost to us today. Do you recall baseball being popular?
Oh yes, very popular, and especially at Polly Pratt's house. She's now Polly Tucci, because she had a big backyard, and all the boys used to play baseball in the backyard. So all the girls used to go to Polly's house and watch the boys playing baseball. My husband included.
This was the era of the streetcar, do you recall?
Oh, yes. When I was about 10 years old, I lived in a house on Main Street where the head of Pocket Academy lives now. And I used to go to bed and it was dark and I would lie in bed and listen to the night sounds. And there were very few night sounds. An occasional car, an automobile would go by and I would hear footsteps on the sidewalk and a few voices. And then way down on the mill dam, I would hear a rattling and a clanging and a banging. And along would come the streetcar going down Sudbury Road. And the lights in the streetcar, but very few people, as I remember. And that was really the big moment of the when the streetcar went by.
And the streetcar would take people to the Lexington Amusement Park?
The Lexington Park was a favorite place for many people in Concord to visit the streetcar all the way through the park and come back. People suddenly see just hanging on the side of the car. So many people were going.
Was this before World War I?
Yes.
This is back in the 20s, really.
And boys bicycled the way they did today?
Yeah, even more so, I think. Everybody bicycled, of course. When it first came in, then the bicycles thought it was a problem. But the boys still on bicycles.
Well, I think when we were young, we either walked or we rode a bicycle. Very few people had cars, and I don't really remember too many horses and carriages. So we all either rode our bicycles or walked.
Was it Judge Kies who passed you by?
Yeah, Judge Kies had a Stanley Steamer automobile. And I was riding my bicycle one day on the wrong side of the street, whereupon Judge Kaiser drove his car right down the front, so I had to stop. And he leaned out of the car and followed the devil out of me.
People in town at that time, do they make their own entertainment?
Oh yes, I think they did. Everybody did. The ladies of the Ladies Tuesday Club used to work for months on the entertainment that they were giving. They would have charades or some kind of little plays, and they all made their own entertainment.
Well, charades were the great thing, as I remember too, and the audience was part of it. They had more fun guessing during the what word they were spelling out and so forth. Mrs. Russell Robb, she's been dead now how many years?
Oh, long time.
She's supposed to be one of the brightest ones. If they could fool Mrs. Robb, why not? big evening for them.
Concord players?
Yes, the Concord players were going. I don't think they were as professional as they are now, but they were very active, and everyone enjoyed being in it or going to see it.
Mm-hmm. Some people recall going to dancing school even around here.
Oh, yes. We had dancing school in the in the top floor of the town hall, and everybody went to dancing school, and that was very fun. Mm-hmm.
Was there one physician that you recall who attended to the medical needs of the townspeople?
Anybody in town of that either, okay, it was Dr. Titcomb. He lived on Sudbury Road. And I think at that time, telephones weren't as prevalent. So he, when he got a call, he had horses, a horse, but one horse particularly on a wagon. You can see him going through the mill dam. Getting way out over the dashboard, whipping his frothing horses, trying to get to a case quickly. Some people didn't like the most of what we call that. Anybody about our age will remember. Mm-hmm. But I remember he was our doctor.
Didn't he take out your appendix on the kitchen table?
Yeah.
Was there a custom of indicating if someone was ill with a disease?
Yes. If you had measles or diphtheria or scarlet fever, they would put a little card on the outside the front door. It was red, but I don't suppose it was. Yes, but I know there was always a card for an infectious disease. And then when people died, there would be a pretty wreath or a flower arrangement hanging beside the front door.
Mm-hmm. Was church life a significant part of one's childhood at that time?
I think you just automatically went to church. You know, I went to Sunday school. We all had a mite box. And I had an allowance of 10 cents a week, and 5 cents went automatically into the mite box. And we went to Sunday school, we went to church, and then we were confirmed. And it was more or less automatic. It was something you didn't decide about. You just went ahead and did it.
I thought about that, too, answering your question. Miss Owen Dexter was on the minister of the Trinity Episcopal Church here. And he was very active in helping young people, Boy Scouts and so forth, as well as personal relationships. I think he was the nearest man to what Jesus Christ might have been. Well, I know he was one of the very self-facing, helpful person.
He was very involved in the social working movements
well,
of the time.
The boys and girls, as I remember that age, mm-hmm. I don't know, he had it, I think with the, probably later on, the adults, they didn't like him because he preached against the mill owners over in Lowell or all around. And in fact, once he went over and joined a strike against management. And some of the members of the parish who were contributors wanted him fired. They said he was a very, very fine man. And his wife was also very active in the town.
You attended Miss White's home school?
Yes, and it was a remarkable school. I came up from Lincoln, where I was born and lived as a little girl on the train. Not born on the train, but came up on the train. And went to Miss White's home school, and I had the most wonderful grounding in English literature that anybody could possibly have had. We read poetry, we read The Forsaken Merman, and The Lays of Ancient Rome, and all the nice old poems. And we also had Latin and math, which were taught by a lovely lady, Miss Emma Smith, who always did the sums for us and did all the translations for us, so that I really didn't learn very much about Latin or math, but I had a wonderful grounding in English literature.
Was Mr. Alan French also?
Mr. Alan French gave us a course in art, mm-hmm. in the early Italian painters with pictures which we passed around, which was very, very good.
And where was the school located?
The school was on Belknap Street. The house is still there. It was a big white house with a school building in back. It's very near the corner of Thor Street.
Mm-hmm. You have had an association with Concord Academy.
The trustee for several years, and later became chairman of the board of trustees. About 4 or 5 years.
Do you recall the reasons for the founding of Concord Academy?
I understood that many of the families in Concord didn't want to send their daughters away to boarding school to Chicago or somewhere. They wanted to see them. So they got together and decided they would form a boarding school here in Concord, which would be both a day school and a boarding school. And that, since they get the very top people in the faculty, so they attracted the people from Chicago who came here as boarders, and then the Concord girls were day pupils. And that worked out very well from everybody's point of view. Of course, the money that cost was less for the day than it was for the morning. I can't say exactly how much it was, but I'm not exactly sure.
Was there any interaction with Middlesex School at
very
that time?
At that mm-hmm. time. Middlesex believe in it at that point. They changed since now, I understand. Mm-hmm. But at that time, Mr. Windsor, I think it was, wasn't it? Mr. Windsor didn't want his boys coming down to Concord and fraternizing with the Academy girls. In fact, he would come down, they did come down, they were arguing to come down and have a soda at Richmond. But again, they only had to spend so much money and had to do that. For the most part, they had to get back to Middlesex on their 2 feet or a bicycle or be picked up. So many of them bumped their way, bumped their way back.
Thank you.